and Deb Rees, experts in business, leadership and lifestyle.
Skilling your softy to a success for you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
We are in and we're up and running, listeners, and yes, we have a show for you today. And today, and the next day, and the next month, we have been here for like 3 years. We are...
No. To the rest of the world, that's years. We haven't got 3 years.
Actually, 3 years of one mouth is the best way to live. Because you hear more and say less. Or you say what you should say. When you are 3 mouths of 1 year, then actually you say more than what you need to say, not listening to anything. You're generally living on monkey chat when you were 1 year and 3 mouths. But when you are 3 years... on one mouth,
then
you are living, trust me. It's great to be your listeners, you know, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us. And guess what? Yes, you heard that voice, the voice of the stranger, the voice of the person that's claimed to be in the jingle. Hi, you are listening to Paul and Deborah. Yes, Deborah's in the jingle. How long have we been away?
It says Debs, actually.
How long have you been away from the show?
A little while.
And you can't even give me a just reason. I have made so many excuses for you to our listeners where I've had hate mail. I've had mail where it's been uppercase, liar, 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 pants on fire, fibber, fibber, chuck you in the river.
I thought this meme, it said, wouldn't it be great if
liars'
pants did really
catch on? Imagine that. Every time you walk around the street, someone's rigging end was showing, ah, liar, 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 steamy bums. Steamy bums.
Steamy
windows. Yeah. That would be, there should be some kind of, actually, do you know what there should be? There should be a vape, in the sense of, when you lie, you naturally, green vape comes out of your mouth. Can you imagine? We're in the street and all of a sudden you see people vape this like chimneys, this green smoke comes out of your mouth. Yeah, you're lying. You're like, don't you just stop?
But you know what? It would make the world transparent, and that's what everything needs, especially corporates. They need the transparency.
Yeah.
When you're watching the president of the United States was giving his speech.
And then his green stuff come out of his mouth. Well, I mean, we wouldn't want smoke rooms, we want green rooms.
Yeah,
go to the green room and get it off your chest, will you, lying little Torag? That would just be... So this should be a tablet that you can get over the counter. So the government say, right, go to... From now on, legally, everybody's got to take a lying tablet.
Except for the government wouldn't. It's Jesus, they're a big one.
Imagine the House of Commons would be seeping through the tiles in the roof.
Big Ben will be on fire.
Lion syndrome. It would be, imagine councillors would be charging an earth. Yeah. I'm addicted to lying tablets.
But the thing is, you know, it's all depending. You could have white lies, so white comes out.
Oh, different colour for different levels of lying.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm only a white lie, man.
But the thing is, you know... In all honesty, transparency is actually what the world needs. It really does.
You're right.
You know, especially in business and big corporations and governments.
You man, you just took us from that fun to that serious fact. My stomach jumped at the pace you took us from fun to like, you know.
Well, because I think it's really important. If we're on it, let's put it out there. I think, you know, transparency is when the world is transparent. There'll be peace on it.
Okay. I see it. I see it. It was all a little deep for me there because I'm still in the green smoke thing and I've been fine.
Because that's because you're sick.
Well, it's like, you know, listen, you know, you've got ex-wives, ex-husbands, how much fun you can have while slipping a lie tablet into the food and all of a sudden all this green stuff starts coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, gotcha.
Yeah,
you're
thinking of you too.
Hey, listen, I'm life-free, man. No, you said white lies are different colour.
Yeah.
I have a few white lies coming out from me. I'm okay, but you know what? When we think about that, we think about intellect, emotions, you know, and we think about the bigger picture of things, and this is exactly what we have here today.
Yeah.
We have someone here that really understands the process of emotional value, the emotional economy, you know, understanding life currency, all these things that come from, you know, the importance of understanding philosophy and philosophizing yourself, even.
Tell me about life currency. What is that? What does that look like? Because other people might not know what that
Well, I mean, I spoke about life currency a lot. You just haven't been here. You've been busy doing other stuff. And listeners, how many shows are we in now? I caught us about 350 shows in now. I mean, that's full on. Do you know what I mean? We've been banging at the doors of these listeners' eardrums for the past
into everybody's lemon
for so long. And here's the thing: is that we've had such a range of guests. But this week, you know, what we're doing, when you think about intellect and emotions, you know, the body and the bigger picture of life, and you put all that into one place, you know you've got a thought leader in front of you.
Yeah.
You know you've got someone that's not just you to say, well, you're doing all right. That's you to, as I say, add value to the emotional economy. Life currency is when you, your life currency is your interpersonal accountability, it's your character. Life currency is when you don't have to take lion tablets.
Right.
That's when you know your life currency is aligned. And life currency makes money currency. You cannot make physical money like your life currency is in alignment.
Of any substance for any length of time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here we are. Here we are. Do you know what? I've missed you, Deb.
Yeah.
I mean, straight away we went on to something. Do you know what I mean? We went on to like lion smoke and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe with the lion tablets, they sell peace pipes. So you lie your face off, and we'll have a peace pipe thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With pink smoke and stuff come out of that. You know, got a peace meal or what have you. But I really like the idea of, you know, come on, universe. You're supposed to be ahead of us. Make everybody have highlighter breath. No. Green highlighter breath when they lie.
No, because then you haven't got any growth within yourself. You're just being called out all the time. That's not growth.
But then you stop getting called out and you be truthful.
Yeah, but why? Because you don't want to be led. Or do you want to be truthful within yourself, coming from an authentic place, or do you just not want to be called out?
Oh, do you know what? I think that I think lying is important.
Yeah.
No, let me finish. Lying's important for what is. Listen, what creates the opportunity to grow within yourself? Whether someone's lying to you or you're lying to that person, we have to experience what that lying is in order to get the place of authenticity.
You can't be
authentic unless you know what a lie is. And the level of your authenticity comes through the level of lying you're experienced. You see what I mean?
Yeah, that's why the universe can't just come and take that away.
Well, let's take back the old theory of green smoke and say there was just really a lot of pipe stuff you were on about. And in that note, let's get in our amazing guest that we have going on here today. So here we go. I want to bring him in. You know what? This chap is not just a philosopher. He's the philosopher's philosopher. That's where we are here. We got him. Bring him in here. All the way from Sweden. From Sweden. Absolutely. Let's bring him in. The wonderful, the amazing. I've had a deep dive with him some time ago on a networking event. I had to bring him on the show. Christopher Sigmund. Absolutely bring him in. Whoa. Christopher.
Hey. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for, you know, coming in and opening your heart and warts and all and everything that we're going to go through here. And, you know, what's your view? What's your view on, you know, the reason for lying? I'm just going to touch now. We talked about the green smoke and things, but I mean, I think lying can be important because it teaches you values in life. What's your thought on that?
Well, first of all, I really love the humor. And I think that humor is such a fundamental part of who we are as humans. I mean, the laughing, there's like a higher sense of understanding each other when we can just laugh together. And it's so universal. It doesn't even require that we speak the same language. We just tune in.
Right.
And then there is truth in that. You know, were we really happy? Yes, we were really happy. We were really laughing. Yes, we were. It's like, is it true or false? We don't even have to ask that question because it's just there.
Yeah.
And I think that is the power of the truth. It has its own resonance. It just speaks directly to us because that is who we are.
Wow. Did you hear that answer?
Yeah, you're saying I was deep.
I mean, come on. This is just a warm-up question. You know what I mean? It's like, here we go, listeners. We are deep diving today. I mean, you're the name of your business is Serious Sounds. I mean, that in itself.
But it's spelt because it's spelt differently. So it's a play on words. So it's Sirius sounds. Sirius.
Exactly. Like the star, the brightest star in the sky, Sirius.
Sirius.
Man, I wouldn't have known that. Yeah, well, we do have as a musician on you, because I see a guitar behind you, electric guitar.
That's the electric guitar, yeah. So a lot of instruments here. It's like music is another one of these universal languages. And dance is another one. And I really like, I mean, communication is such a fundamental part of living together as humans. And we tend to think of communication as something we do with words. And then there is room for lying or truth, but there are other forms of communication which are much more direct, and music and dance are some of them. Laughter, we touched on another one, and body language is yet another one. So there is so many levels that we really communicate. And also music has this beautiful emotional part to it. It just resonates.
Yeah. I mean, words are the least reliable, aren't they, for communication?
Well, we like to have teeth.
Stop it, because you're starting. We're going to have a discussion after the show.
But you know, on all levels, the human, you know, the English language is very unreliable for a form of communication.
I think all
language. Yeah. You feel it's unreliable for a form or a true form of emotional communication, Christopher?
Well, I would say like this: that it's important to keep in mind the limitations of language. Oh, I mean, language is great. But if we are aware that language will only tell us so much, then we can sort of fill the blanks. And that's really the important part, because if you're talking to someone and you're listening from a place of distrust, then the words might be exactly the same, but you're going to fill in the blanks with like reasons not to trust that person.
Wow.
Whereas if you're listening from a place of love or openness or trust, like implicitly trusting the other person, then you will fill out the blanks with all the good stuff. And then the conversation that ensues will be on a completely different level.
Wow. I mean, really? How come you're not on the 10 o'clock news with these philosophies? They, listen, here's the thing. You are a business philosopher. You're a personal philosopher in the sense of you guide people with your wisdom. Would that be correct?
Yes, I do. But even more than that, I would say that every person has inherent wisdom. So what I'm doing is that I'm supporting people to discover their own wisdom. Because when it comes to the inner journey and our who we really are, we all come from the same place. We all come from truth and love. And so it's more that I'm a mirror and I allow I'm available for people to see themselves through me.
Yeah. And do you find that we're in an age of digital technology, which effectively is, you know, AI is speedily taking over our lives and you know, muscling in with wisdom at the best. You know, we look at the Urban Dictionary, the English Dictionary. They've both been having a boxing match for many years. Mm-hmm. And if we look at, you know, AI now and wisdom, effectively are putting the boxing ring together. And, you know, wisdom is always going to come out, I feel, the best of, because wisdom comes from emotion, where AI comes from, you know, a make-believe.
Do you think wisdom comes from emotion?
Oh, yeah. I mean, wisdom is part of, I believe, this whole bank of being a human being, where AI is about being a human doing. We have two different aspects here. But do you believe that because of digital technology, you have to work harder to get people to be more in touch with themselves now, Christopher, than ever?
Well, I would like to make a distinction between knowledge and wisdom to begin with. Knowledge is what we can learn, and AI can provide so much knowledge and making connections and writing stuff for us in no time, and which is unprecedented in the way it works. But it doesn't have a limbic brain, you know, the part of us which is emotional, the part of us which really relates to one another, which we share with all mammals. So that part is really, really important, and it's really fundamental. And I think that one of the dangers for let's say 100 years or so, but in essence for quite a lot longer than that, for thousands of years, has been that we've been very intellectually focused. So a lot of solutions have come from the brain, from the cognitive thinking, whereas what really makes us human is all these different parts of who we are. So maybe there is a potential that we can finally come to see that, okay, well, here's an entity which is clearly, by some definitions, smarter than us. You know, it can do things that we couldn't do. But then again, it has its limitations. So we're not about competing with that anymore, but we are these whole beings. So I would say it's more important than ever that we are really in touch with our humanity.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, human doing versus human being. Thinking about the differentiate in what that looks like. I'm going to put this out there for us to just kind of beat into it a little. So a human doing is someone that lives unconsciously and is effectively run by what they see in their phone, what they see in their laptop, how they respond to that, likes, I don't know, no likes, whatever it may be on social media, where the human being is really appreciating the fact that, I meditate in the morning, that's my caffeine, and I do a bit of reading, and I'm really aware of my self-thoughts. Do you feel that the differentiate between those two understandings of human being and human doing are becoming more separated?
That's an interesting question. I would say that it's one difference between human being and human doing is how we identify ourselves or what we identify with. I mean, if I ask you, who are you? I mean, will you describe yourself as, well, I have this job, I have this house, I have this money, I have this wife, or will you describe it in sort of a different way, like what is your essence,
Oh,
which
wow.
is one of these universal questions, like who am I? So it's a matter of definition there. And what I'm seeing in our times is that there is a polarization for sure. I mean, we see it in so many ways, right, left, good, bad, and it's always like the narrative is usually quite clear. Oh, this is what is the right opinion, and this is what's the wrong opinion, and then people might differ which is the right and the wrong one, but most of the times it's very clear that there is one right and one wrong, which is a very polarizing way of looking at things. Whereas I think that real intelligence transcends that and starts when you can actually see that, well, it can be this and it can be that. And so coming back to human being, human doing, I would say as humans, the real beauty of it is if we can be both. We are and we do. And these two are in harmony so that what you do is an extension of who you are.
Wow. Now that's what you say. You say, it's not an if or it can be both. I can't remember the
Oh,
phrase.
yeah, it's not, it can be and both rather than either or.
And it can be an
Brilliant.
are and do. I love that. I love the way you pulled all that question into the, and rounded it into that. Yeah, that took skill. That takes philosophizing skill, my friend.
And I think that it's important probably to note that probably the who you are comes first, and then that's what you do, rather than what you do becomes who you are.
That's it.
Is that what you said, or am I? Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
It's got to be that way around, right?
And
Be
yeah, I mean,
authentic.
if you start the other way around, which is not so uncommon, then you might come to a point where you get to an existential crisis. And I think that happens to all of us if we're paying attention enough. Because like, oh, what am I doing? And who am I really? And is this what I want to do? And how do I feel about that? And in a healthy life, I think that this process happens several times because we change. When we are children, we are thinking one way, and then we become teenagers, and then we become adults, young adults, maybe we become parents, and we become older and hopefully wiser. And many times we go through these different shifts, and it's not consistent. We're not the same all the time because our perspectives change, and that's okay. So it's rather to keep paying attention to, okay, what is actually true to me now? Who am I now? And how would I like to express that in the world? Maybe it's a time for being more alone, and maybe it's a time to be more with people. Maybe it's time to be more introspective, and maybe it's the time to be more active. So these things change.
Because people want to put themselves in boxes, and the people around them want to put them in boxes too, right? We put ourselves in a box. This is who I am. So when you're talking about changing, different phases, different shifts in our life, we don't acknowledge that, but certainly the people around us don't really acknowledge that. They want to keep you who you were, would you say? And that's where sometimes conflict comes in because, you are changing, but people say, oh, Deb's this, Deb's that. She does this. She's, you know, I mean, these are our likes, these are our dislikes. This is who she is, you know. And they like, and I think it's for their own safety that we put each person in the in that little box of what we think they are and who we think they are. And then there's conflict when we go through a shift and a change, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, how does that make you feel when people put you in a box?
Yeah, no, it's not good, is it?
We do inherit, though, you know, our parents, we do inherit the disappointments, the values, whatever it may be from our parents, and that becomes an outplay emotionally for us also. Do you believe that, Christopher?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the starting point. We have our genes, we have our memes, which is mental memes, mental genes. We're born in a certain family, in a certain place in the world, and we go through all these things, and that's forming us. And then we take it from there. And I think that the real choice then becomes, will I only play out the programming that I was dealt, or will I start to grow and start looking at things and reflecting and say, okay, well, I got this imprint or this programming from my mother. Is this something that I like or not? Do I want to change it? Or for my father? And then I might discover that, well, some of these traits, I really love them. And others, well, not really. I'd like to do it another way. And then we can start on forming new habits, which takes time, but it's possible. Yeah. And then another side of it is like, these imprints, which are kind of detrimental to us, like negative self-beliefs or you know, there are many different types of emotional trauma that we're all subjected to. And then we have the opportunity to actually integrate that and not to be burdened by it anymore, which takes work. And that's the big work.
What I'd like to say, though, is I think a lot of people are running around with this conditioning and not actually knowing that it's conditioning and that they have a choice. It's knee-jerk reactions from their subconscious mind that just kicks in. It's like that conditioning just kicks in. And a lot of the time, people don't sit down and reflect and say, well, that's my mum, that's my dad, that's what I got from them, that's what, you know. I think we just keep running around in circles, creating the same problems in the same lives.
Yeah. That happens until we start paying attention, and then right. We can change it.
Right.
And do you find that, you know, this kind of depth of focus, because this is why I'm seeing, you know, that you work with individuals and organizations to really help them become better versions of themselves using, of course, your holistic approach, working with intellect, emotions, the body, you know, social aspects, all creating on the bigger picture. So we have you have a theme to how you work with your clients, but it has a very deep aspect to it there, Christopher, which means you are really going into the deep dive of their history.
Yeah, it can. It's very bespoke, and what I do in essence is to pay attention and listen. So, listening is one of my main skills, because again, I think that people really do have their own answers if it's on an individual level. So I would say it's more like embracing who we truly are. It's not so much about changing anything. It's more about allowing ourselves to be who we are. So I work with radical acceptance. Like, we are who we are. We feel what we feel, and that's okay. Because what happens usually is if we start mistrusting ourselves, then we create new conflicts within ourselves, and that's kind of what we want to get out of. So it's really about letting go, which is in itself not always as easy as it sounds, but the more we can let go and just feel whatever is there, which might be very painful, then it can start to integrate. And with organizations, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, sometimes organizations you know, it consists of several people. How do they know who they are? Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think that the important thing with organizations is that I don't go in and tell them how to do their things. So, like, here is how you should do it. You know, follow this manual and you'll solve. But rather, I want my clients to be engaged and take ownership over their own solutions. So the way I work is a lot about listening and understanding. I might make proposals or ask questions or challenge or inspire, but at the end of the day, I want my clients to themselves step up and say, okay, this is how we're going to do it. So it's a co-creative way of working.
You're empowering them.
Yes, that's it. Good work.
Well, on that note, we're going to empower ourselves into our first ad there, listeners. So we're going to jump in for a quick 90-second commercial. When we come back, have your pens and paper ready, because lovely Christopher is going to call out his contact details for you to be able to get hold of him, get to his website, and fundamentally get in touch with him so you can experience this amazing wise heart. This man has come and gobbled up the three wise men at some given point, for sure. He's amazing. So we're going to be doing that, but I'm going to take you into this quick commercial now. So we'll see you in 90 seconds.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
Happy days, we are back in, listeners, and of course we are with a lovely Christmas, let me get that right, blah 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 blah, my teeth back in, Christopher Sigmund, the amazing business and personal philosopher. I mean, you have just heard this man's heart and soul in the first half of this show. I mean, we threw out some of our most dedicated technical questions and he just went through them like knife going through a butter. It meant nothing. It was just amazing, which tells you the character of this individual we have in front of us. The loyalty, Christopher, that you are giving to really developing the emotional, or playing a part in making sure that the emotional economy of our lives maintain stability, maintains functioning, which means that we're expanding on ourselves. We don't lose our concept and reverse it into, I'm going to say, you know, the AI and the digital technology. On that ground, let's do this also, listeners, because I promised that we give out this Christopher's details, which we'll do also after the next commercial. Christopher, just give us a shout out, your website and things, if you can, please, my friend.
Yes, thank you very much, Paul. You're so kind. So my website is siriussounds.com, and that's SiriusSounds.com. And there is all contact information there.
And do you have an email? Do you have a quick email?
Yeah, so it's Christopher@SiriusSounds.com.
There we go. That's who we're looking for. Happy days. And you'll also find Christopher on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. You'll find him there. You can't miss him. He's an handsome man with a very lovely beard and moustache and very slim in his looks and all these beautiful things. So you will see him on there. So, yeah, absolutely. But we want to come back in. I want to touch on, you know, your journey, you know, because here's the thing. What I am a big believer is when you're in a position as where you are influencing the knowledge industry in the way you are, because let's face it, we're in the knowledge industry, that's where you are, and so you're working on hearts and minds. You would have to have then been in your life university at some point and passed your own life exams. And when we look at that, you know, I've got you, and I can see you overcome depression twice.
Yeah,
now that in itself, you know, I went through burnout once and I lost 3 months of my life, and trust me, it was an odd experience to have literally the life pulled out of you and become dysfunctional in life. You know, working through depression, do you feel it's an evolvement or a devolvement?
I never thought of that. I mean, Depression, I think, is a state of complete inertia, where it's like there is no motivation to do anything really. Mm-hmm. If it's deep enough, but overcoming it means to me, I would say it means to get the energy moving again.
Yeah. And do you feel so on that note, you know, because I often think that when people are in depression, because again, I've felt that it's a place where when we get there because of the lack of motivation or the lack of or the over expectancy. For mine, it was over expectancy in what I thought I was achieving. But what I believe was that getting through depression actually grew me as a person. Through me as an individual, to one understand it, come at ease with it, in order to separate myself from it.
Definitely. I mean, I would say that it was more that it was probably the word devolvement that didn't. I didn't really see that how that fit in, but definitely growing from it, learning from it, emotional depth. I think comes to a very large extent from having also difficult emotional experiences. The thing about depression, though, that it's not really so much an emotion as a lack of anything, like a lack of emotions. So it's more like an emptiness. But yeah, a lot of being at the bottom. It's kind of reassuring in a way that I have seen like things can't really get any worse than when you're really depressed. So I can always relate to that and say, well, it's not that bad.
Very good. So the first lot lasted 5 years. So how did you get yourself out of it?
LSD was an important part.
Okey-doke.
Brilliant answer.
Well, you did Thank say you. That. You said psychedelics. And actually, if I'm correct, people are using micro doses of these things in order to get people better.
They are, eh?
Yeah,
it's becoming... Yeah, now it's becoming more and more common. I mean, they started already in, I think, in the 50s, maybe even 40s, when it was first synthesized just to investigate how it can be used. But then after some years, all these experiments were shut down. They were not allowed to do them anymore. And some people were exploring other avenues. For example, holotropic breathwork by Stanislav Grof, he was one of the early pioneers in psychedelic assisted therapy. And then he sort of went another way and you're doing breathwork, which is also very powerful. But now the pendulum has come back and a lot of people are looking into different types of psychedelics as a way
mushrooms.
To support
There's
mushrooms,
a lot of
yeah,
wow,
absolutely, yeah, and also other things, plant medicine, etc.
Ayahuasca, loads of different.
Well, I didn't know this. I mean, man, I was ahead of my time with the mushrooms. That was for sure when I was a kid. Do you know what I mean? We used to go early morning picking mushrooms. When we were children, because there was lots of those around in the Welsh Valleys, Christopher, that's for sure, of those kind of unusual shaped mushrooms that did unusual things. But we'll not go too into that on the show. But what I want to go into, because here's the thing, we have, of course, Christopher here, who's an expert in really supercharging emotionally individuals, whether it's corporate, personal, and working from the inside out with that person, you know, and really getting yourself to be more influenced and more, you know, efficient as an emotional person. But I want to come back to your life university, I should say, your studies, because you've gone through several traumas within your childhood and early adulthood. Now, when we use the word trauma, of course, people generally put a physical or physical emotional thing to that. But trauma as, you know, it's a serious evolver of an individual. Do you feel that also? People who go through trauma and successfully work through trauma generally become, you know, individuals who are very, I'm going to say, thought leader minded as yourself.
Thank you. Well, I would say that every person that I've ever met has had some trauma, and it probably happens to all of us to a larger or smaller extent. So that's kind of a given. Then the question is, what are we going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And are we going to be, and it ties back to what we talked about before the break also, that we have these imprints. You know, some of that is basically trauma. It's like we're imprinted in different ways. So are we going to keep reacting to that imprint, that trauma, or are we going to grow past it? And I think no matter what way we do it, whether it's is different kinds of therapy or other shadow work or light work, there are so many different ways and there's so much available today. That's when we can actually start becoming really alive. Mm-hmm. Because as long as we're just playing out our traumas, then we're not really alive. We're just, yeah, you know, perpetuating some pattern. That's a very important part of life. And I think that having gone through a lot of that myself, I can relate to people who have had maybe not exactly the same situation, but other challenging situations as most of us have. So it's a humbling experience, but it's also a resource I find in being able to relate to others who have also gone through difficult mm-hmm. times.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you here because you you say about you had many, many years of therapy in various forms, primarily aimed at integrating several traumas from your childhood and early adulthood. So what do you mean by integrating? Can I say that word? Integrating? That's
yeah.
weird. Yes. What do you do when you integrate it? Like, I thought you wanted to just disperse of it.
That's a very good question, and it's a very important question too, and I'm happy that you ask it, because I think it's a misconception to think that you want to get rid of your experiences, because you can't, because right. they're there. It's right. it's getting rid of them, it's kind of like, you know, cutting away a part of your brain, and I'm not into that. No. So what I am into is learning from experience, and that's what happens when you integrate. So in essence, it's more that, for example, forgiving, that's a very powerful way mm-hmm. of integrating. But at the end of the day, it's a very visceral thing to do, because all these different traumas, they get stuck in the body. You can feel the pain, and also in the emotional body, in that you are, you know, maybe some emotions are taboo, or some emotions are just like every time you get there, you're just like, ah, you lose yourself in that, whether it be anger or grief or fear or whatever it is. So as long as you are sort of in that space, then you're not really free. You're sort of like these marionettes tied to strings.
Yeah.
Whereas the integration process, what happens is that there is something locked in your body, in your emotions. And by integrating that, which in essence is accepting what happened, accepting does not mean to say it was okay or that it was, you know, I don't care, because it did happen and it probably wasn't okay at all. But accepting that it happened, not denying that it happens, like, okay, yes, this did happen. It's
or
it's
running
unfortunate.
Away from it, right?
Exactly.
You don't want to
exactly.
try to run away because you can't.
No, like Bob Marley singing, you're running and you're running and you're running away, but you can't run away from yourself.
It's so true. Yeah. So, you know, so acceptance is a great one, isn't it? Like, it's so great to say, okay, that happened and that's fine. You know, it's not happening today. And now what am I going to do about what's left? What's replaying within me? What am I going to do with that?
Exactly.
I have a philosophy that, you know, that people in our lives play a part in helping us grow emotionally as individuals, depending on our journey. So let's say I said, you know, Paul Rees, I needed my mom, dad, brothers, sisters to be a particular way to me to act what could seem in a negative sense so I could feel, experience, grow from that trauma, from that experience to shape where I'm right now in my mindset. Well, effectively, I should be going and thanking them for every hurt moment that I experienced, every tear that I shed, every every moment that I spent in a, you know, a blissful lonely environment, because I'm going to put blissful and lonely in the same place. I'm going to put blissful and hurt in the same place. Blissful and trauma in the same place, because all that has shaped me to the person I am right now. So if it wasn't for them sacrificing being good people to be who they were to me, then I wouldn't have the shape of where I am right now. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, Paul, I would say that that's a very enlightened perspective, and if you can do that truthfully, then I congratulate you. I would say that it can be difficult because, well, you might come to that point eventually, and it's great if you can really do it. But the important thing here is honesty, because if you are really honestly grateful, then that's great. But if it's not really grounded, if it's like, it's more like, oh, I would really like, I understand this idea, you know, intellectually understand this has formed me, but I'm still actually pissed with it, but I'd rather, you know, go for this high ground, then I don't think the integration will happen, because then you're kind of playing pretend in a sense, which I call a spiritual bypass. When you're actually...
That's brilliant! That's such a great concept!
He's going to steal that. I know he's going to steal
spiritual bypass. That is beautiful!
Yes, thank you. And it's not something that I came up with. I didn't coin the phrase, but I really like it. I just want to be clear on that. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people who start getting into different ways of working with themselves, including for me. So I will say that, to follow up on the LSD, that it really helped me, but it was also a spiritual bypass.
Yeah.
So, and that means that I could access a truer part of myself that had been buried for a long time. And for a while, it was beautiful. But then it came to a point after 4 years or so where I had to make a choice, like, okay, so what am I going to do about all this unintegrated stuff, which is still there?
Yeah.
And that's when I made the decision to embark on a very long journey of self development and self discovery.
Well, it was 15 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Listen, guys, I got to take us into a. I really don't want to interrupt this conversation, but I got to jump us into a commercial. I'm going to get a row from the station. But also, really, Christopher, I am now really kind of looking and testing that philosophy that I just spoke out to. It's like, well, how dedicated I am to that? Is there a portion to me that's, as you say, got this spiritual, bypass going on there? And I'm really, for the first time in 55 years, since I ran that philosophy for myself, thinking, wow, how true am I to that? And that's something that I'm going to get from you. But listeners, we're going to just quickly jump into our second commercial. When we come back, Christopher's going to call out his contact details again so you can reach out to him before we dive into the last portion of the show and deep dive even further than what we already are. Here we go.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Oh, yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. What are we doing? We are deepness in the deeping of the dives. I mean, we are so deep, there isn't a well deep enough to catch our coin. Do you know what I mean?
Are you on a map?
It's just the depth of where we are. It's been such an amazing multiverse conversation.
The show is not enough. We have to get him back.
Oh, absolutely. We're gonna drag Christopher back by his emotional umbilical cord and say, you're coming back on no matter what. That's where we are. But here we are, Christopher. I need you to shout out your contact details, please, my friend. Off you go.
All right. So my website is siriussounds.com. So that's SiriusSounds.com. And my email address is Christopher@siriussounds.com.
And of course, you can find Christopher on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, if that's correct. And,
yeah, LinkedIn is really good.
Yeah, LinkedIn is the best. You'll see him on LinkedIn. He's the handsome, tall guy with the beard and slim face and all the beautiful things that go with it. You'll see, and he'll have some kind of halo above him because he has to, because of how wise he is. That's for sure. So,
you asked, Paul, you asked in the questionnaire of... Christopher, yes. Mm-hmm. Business life success and how was it achieved? And I like this because you came back with, Christopher, one, what is success?
Mm-hmm.
But then this is what you've been up to, right? So I suppose getting 4 academic degrees in law, technology, philosophy, and engineering is success, as is completing academic training in music, 2 years at the Royal College of Music in Stockholm,
wow.
Several languages, psychology and leadership, both of which were achieved through perseverance. I guess that's pretty successful.
I mean, that's growth. That is growth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, it is. And, you know, I was you someone...
Isn't that wild?
It is. It's awesome. And were you someone that was purposefully driven by... you know, getting achievements, or was it more for the personal experience and we could say the academic achievement was just an add-on?
Well, it started after I came home from I did a journey around the world in 80 weeks. And
wow, instead of 80 days. Perfect.
Exactly. Which wasn't planned, but that's how it played out. And then I came back home to Stockholm, where I was living then. And I was sort of landing for quite a few months. And then my dear mother said, you can't just hang around. You got to do something. You should study. So I was looking in the catalog. Back in those days, it was before internet was really big, as it's now. hard to imagine even, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so I looked through the catalog, and the only subject that I thought was like remotely relatable was philosophy. So that's where I dove in. And then I just took it from there, and I studied philosophy. And then I, you know, went basically following my curiosity and following a bit of advice from my father, who said mathematics is good and law is good. I was like, okay, I'll try it. And then discovering that, well, maybe law wasn't really my thing. I tried it working with it for a while. And then I thought, okay, let's get into music again. I've been doing music since I was 5. And so I went for that for some time and exploring that and just following my curiosity.
Yeah, I mean, this is Christopher's past careers, right? Railway engineer, music copyright administration, property law, financial translator, journalism and research. I mean, it's all over the board.
You're like a chameleon, do you know what I mean? Like a career chameleon. Just blends in with wherever you try. But...
And we need to say about his hobbies as well. Juggling is the first one.
Mm.
Are you a juggler?
I am a juggler, yes.
Wow. Because we're always juggling life. But
oh, man, you juggle the big things and all. I mean, I can just about juggle my money.
I can do balls. I can do 3 balls.
Oh, can you?
Oh, cool. That's a good starting point.
You can do 3 balls.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Something new every day by your wife. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man, I can't. Do you know what, Christopher? This whole show has been amazing because what we've done is, you know, going into the deeper understanding of people's thinking is what is the most important subject, I believe, for the next 40 years for sure, to help, as I say, keep that balance in the emotional economy of our lives. And thank you for being a part of that. Thank you for dedicating, you know, your life experience. And, you know, on that, you know, we have the label is trauma. The label is depression. The label is, we're going to say, having to give forgiveness. The label is
anxiety,
having to adopt those people in your life that created the shape of that. So then, of course, there's forgiveness and whatever else comes with that. Having to be clear and open-minded in all those layers of emotions on such an unselfish way to give back to, again, the emotional economy of people's lives to create better human beings and minimize the human doing. And, you know, that is a pretty special place to be. Thank you for that dedication.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Paul. It's very kind.
Really, really, it is. It's beautiful. And, you know, if there was something you could share, and I don't really like these kind of on-the-spot questions in this way, but if there was something you could share to listen and say, just think this about yourself, what would that be?
Enjoy life and have fun and do things that make you feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because and that's lovely, because a lot of people don't feel like they can because they feel like they're being selfish. But I think, you know, a level of being selfish is necessary in order to be able to love others.
Oh, you know, being selfish is important because then you give the fullest version of yourself.
I think it's about self-love, really. I mean, selfish sounds like it, you're doing it at the expense of others.
Well,
or
exactly,
like you, I don't care about anyone. I just want it for me. But if I'm genuinely, if I want to do something which makes me feel genuinely good, then I probably will want to share it with someone else, you know, and I want people around me to feel good too. So by being really selfish, I start including people outside of me, and I can actually, you know, and it just ripples out to other people as well.
And I think that's what I was trying to say quite inarticulately, but, you know, but also I think that when you say self-love, I don't think a lot of people know what that even looks like or even to start with.
Well, you know what? If they listen to this show enough, they will get it. They will understand it. Replay it. Get your highlighted moments for the show and keep replaying. So on this note, we're going to have to jump off. I want to thank the amazing, handsome, tall Christopher Sigmund for being here today, sharing his mind, heart and soul to all our listeners. It's been absolutely beautiful.
I just want to ask a question. You probably get it a lot, but is Sigmund is a common surname over there, or is there any relation to Freud?
No relation to Freud. It's a Swedish version of a Hungarian name, which was a Hungarian version of a Transylvanian name, which was a Transylvanian version of a German name.
Oh,
there you go.
Well, listen, on that note,
that's ridiculous. Sigmund was his first name, so
yeah.
I'll leave that.
I have to run this up. I'm sorry, guys. No, so listeners, enjoy the rippleness of your happy life. Enjoy being happy. Get hold of Christopher Sigmund. You've got the details there. Until this time next week, have an amazing, life-fulfilling week. And bye for now, and boom! Emotion.